you take so long to come to me? Oh, baby. And love, love, your love. Tell me, were you hiding from me all the time? Each time I tried to find someone to take your place, it was all in vain. No, their lips were never quite the same. No, baby, when I was kissing someone new, deep inside I was missing you. Oh, baby, you made me fall in love with you. Now I don't know just what I'm gonna do. Oh, honey, I looked out into empty space and all I saw was your sweet face.
This is The Spec, and you are listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. And welcome back, everybody, to The Spec, 8 p.m. Thursday nights every week. And man, we got a treat today. We got more than a treat. And that treat is sitting across from me right here. That is the one and only Mr. Sammy Minch. Sammy, how you doing today, my friend?
It is an absolute pleasure to be on the show. I believe it's my third time.
It is your third time, part three.
Wow.
And it's been a while.
It feels like my first time,
to
be honest.
No, I know, because the last time you were on was our sophomore year, and now we're both seniors.
Yeah.
You weren't on at all. We were abroad at different times last year, so it's been a while. So it's great to have you back on the show, my friend.
It's almost like we're different people.
We really are, but you know what? In a lot of ways, we're the same. And one way that we're very similar is how we bicker about a lot of things. And we're going to be doing a lot of bickering today, a lot of back and forth on the show, because we got a treat. We got another treat, and that is talking about this Apple Music Top 100 project. That one that I mentioned, you know, a couple weeks back that I was working on over the summer. Well, we're finally going to start unpacking it today. For those that don't know, that those that didn't listen to the show a couple weeks ago, over the summer with my good friend Ethan Dunn and Isaac Powers, we've been working on a massive undertaking of re-listening to Apple Music's best 100 albums of all time and re-ranking them. And I'm proud to say that I finished my list and I sent it around to some of my friends. And Sammy is the first one who's going to be reacting live on air to this list. So I know you've taken a peek, taken a gander before the show. I just want to get your general thoughts, general feelings. How is my list different from the original list? Is it better?
I do think it's better. I
yes!
do. I went through the original list, and there are some things that I simply could not get behind. I thought they gave far too much weight to pop albums that, although
yeah.
that were very listenable, we got no disrespect to Taylor Swift or Beyonce. However, I think when we are ranking music, we shouldn't put those people in the same breath as people like Nirvana, Radiohead, Lauryn Hill, even the Beatles. And so that was tough for me to see. And I appreciate you mostly moved them down compared to others.
And there were a few that stuck around. Yeah.
Yes, there were a few that stuck around.
So that's the general vibe. Thank you for saying that, first of all. I really appreciate it. And just heads up out there, everybody. This wasn't like a super scientific analysis, super objective look at music. I would like to say that a lot of my ranking of this list, and I can put it up after the show on @SpecRadio on Instagram, follow it if you haven't already, was very vibes-based. I'll just admit it. It was pretty subjective a lot of the time. It fully depended on how I was feeling when I listened to some of the music, because I can already look at this now. I worked on this over the summer. And I'll be honest, there are some things that I could not like majorly shift around, but move around. Music, that's the beauty of music. It's subjective. It depends on people's opinions, people's moods. So, you know, this list is fluid. I'll say it's fluid. It will change as time goes on. But we're going to look at it for now. Just a quick heads up there. So, okay. So I think how we thought we were going to do this is we're going to work back in kind of chunks looking at this thing. So we're going to go back. Like 25, 25, 25, 25. Four chunks. That was five. Four chunks. And we're going to just talk about some highlights in each of these sections. And again, I know it's hard for the listeners out there who can't see the full thing as we're working through it. So I'll put it up afterward. You can get your own thoughts and opinions on it. We're going to start with 100 to 75. Sammy, what are the biggest standouts of this bunch?
Well, I am surprised that Astroworld is in here. I think there's a lot of meat on the bone there, but I don't know if it's all I don't know if it's all good. It's got some very good songs on there, but yep. I'm not sure if it's going to deserve that ranking. To be fair, you are only Sam. Please correct me if I'm wrong, but you are only working with the albums that were in Apple Music. You couldn't put new albums in there.
That is 100% correct. So yes, there are some albums, especially in this back half, that I really did not enjoy listening to. I got to be completely honest. To the point about Astroworld, I honestly was pleasantly surprised.
Interesting.
That's why I moved it up from its original ranking. I think, you know, Travis does a lot of different things with this album. Yeah, he has some of the more like standard rap poppy songs like Sicko Mode that you hear on the radio all the time, but then like 5% Tint, Yosemite is a absolutely beautiful song. I like how he brings in some sort of nature elements and to bring some ambiance to the song. And also he has a lot of different features on here, like The Weeknd and Don Toliver, like a lot of guys that aren't credited when you look at the album on the surface, but there's a lot of like interesting little cameos. So I don't know, I had a good time with it. Again, it's 84 on the list. It's not like one of the top tier ones, so that's why I feel okay putting it there. But I still stand by that one today.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah?
Yeah, yeah. That's fair. I mean, there are some wonderful songs on the album. Can't really argue with that.
Yeah.
But as you know, there was one album in this section that really caught my attention. I was very sad when I saw it was this low, and it was A Certain Doggy Style by Snoop Dogg.
Sammy is a big fan of the album Doggy Style by Snoop Dogg, for all those out there. I believe we played a song from that album last time Sammy came on the show. Why are you so obsessed with this album? I would love to hear.
I think it's brilliant. You know, it's really hard to find misses on this album, and that's rare for rap albums. I feel that a lot of rap artists tend to put filler songs on their albums, right? And songs where they want to put out an album, but they have one or two songs they really like, and so they emphasize those songs. But I really feel like this album, Doggy Style by Snoop Dogg, has very few misses. And I mean, Gin and Juice, like, there are some classics that a lot of people know from this album, right? We got Gin and Juice, mega classic. G's and Hustlers is my personal favorite. And there are just a lot of songs going on here, not a lot of phrases I can say on this radio show tonight. However, there are some wonderful songs that I would highly recommend our listeners to listen to in their free time.
The biggest comment that, and I wrote, again, everybody out there, I wrote comments for each one I listened to. I said the flow was really well done. I feel like each song flowed well into the next. And I mean, obviously you need to have that with an album. I feel like there's some rap albums, some hip hop albums, that it just feels like there's one basic song that doesn't really tell a story after the other, and it feels kind of disjointed, and it's hard to describe unless you really listen to it. I feel like Snoop's album did a good job of, like, you have to listen to it in its entirety in a way that I feel like some other hip-hop albums you can't. You don't have to. So that's my general thoughts on that one. Is there anything else you want to cover in this 100 to 75 section before we play some music from this section?
Wow. I look at all these albums, and I'm glad that some of these are on here.
Yeah.
I'm not sure about the Straight Outta Compton. I would assume that there are more. It is more deserving.
Sure.
That would require me to go back and listen to it, though. So I don't know about that. No, Sam, this looks wonderful to me.
Thank you.
The fact that I don't know many albums on here is a good sign for the ranking.
That's great to hear, Sammy Minch. That's great to hear. Up to the Straight Outta Compton point, I mean, obviously super culturally relevant album. I mean, brought an awareness to L.A. rap, hip-hop in a way that you didn't see before. New York was absolutely dominating the scene before that. So cultural relevance is off the chart. In terms of the actual album, I think, and I wrote this at the time, I thought maybe just some of the songs were repetitive. Maybe I just didn't get it. I want to revisit some of these takes because I think a lot of these albums I listen to once in their entirety, and I feel like a lot of the time, and that's going to be a common theme here, that doesn't always do it justice. So maybe if I listen to it another time, I'll get a different takeaway from it. My first takeaway was it was a little repetitive, but, you know, maybe the second time I'll get a little more out of it. So that's my two cents on this section. We got a song that you chose from this section that we're just going to play. It's a pretty short song, so I think we can fit it in. It's Feeling Good by, wait, no. No, it's not. That's actually...
No, it's
moved,
not.
That's moved way higher on my list. I was thinking in the original list for some reason. You know what? I'm going to change this up a little bit. We're just going to play songs from throughout the entire top 100.
Ooh.
And not worry about if they fit into the narrative that we're talking about on the show. Because originally on the list, Nina Simone was in the 80s range. She moved way up on my list. We're just going to play her song anyway. Feeling Good by Nina Simone. Here it is, everybody. Take it away.
Birds flying high, you know how I feel. Sun in the sky, you know how I feel. Breeze drifting on by, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me, yeah. It's a new dawn, it's a new day. It's a new life for me. Ooh, 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 ooh. And I'm feeling good. Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free. Blossom on the tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me, and I'm feeling good. Dragonfly out in the sun, you know what I mean, don't you know? Butterflies all having fun, you know what I mean. Sleep in peace when day is done, that's what I mean. And this old world is a new world, and a bold world for me. When you shine, you know how I feel. Scent of the pine, you know how I feel. Oh, freedom is mine, and I know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, It's a new life for me.
What an incredible song, Sammy.
Feeling It's Timeless
Good by Nina Simone. It really is timeless, and I feel like Nina genuinely has one of the most powerful leading voices on this entire list, and I don't think that's like an insane take. She's a treasure. She's great, and that sounded great on the radio. I'm sure people listening enjoyed it, and it leads nicely into this next section of the list, because Nina Simone made it on the list at 69. I Put a Spell on You. Great album. Again, lots of songs just like that, all the way up and down the list. 75 to 50, Sammy, what other albums catch your eye here?
Well, Sam, let's take a step out of the United States for a second, because I see Un Verano Sin Ti.
I'm so happy Bad Bunny. You brought this up.
I think we can put that one even a little higher. I appreciate that you moved it up from what I see. But I think this album really brought to the global forefront reggaeton in a way that other albums maybe didn't. You know, Daddy Yankee was one of the pioneers for sure. But this album is pretty much universally played everywhere. And frankly, with a bunch of timeless songs, I have been listening to this album and continue to find gems on it.
Yeah.
Month in, month out. I almost every month have a new song off this album. I'm like, oh, I'm done. I've gone through this album. And then a new song pops up. And like, wow, this is incredible. So Bad Bunny really put together a masterpiece here.
Yeah, I mean, Titi Me Pregunto is one that like everybody hears about constantly. I think when I was in Europe, anywhere, whenever there's a big party or a big scene, you hear that song playing. Reggaeton music is huge in the U.S. And as you hit all the points already, Bad Bunny is a big reason why. And I really enjoyed listening to this album. If you look at my review, every album, every song sounds different. Every song brings something different. How you touched upon the fact that you find a new favorite song from it every day, I think, is a testament to how well-rounded this thing is. And I feel like people might give it a bad rap because, oh, it's like people have this stigma around like recent music. Came out in 2022. Like, oh, it can't be good. It's like new stuff. It's pop. It's meh. But it really is good. And there's a reason why I bumped it up a few spots. And it's one of the, I think it is really basically the only, with non-English lyrics, album on the entire list. I know there's some other non-American, non-British artists on here like Kraftwerk, but this is the only album that's not English, not American, not British, not English speaking. So it's good to see that it's on here. I wish there was a little more representation in the Latin pop, Latin community on here. Let's see. What else? What else in this 75 to 50?
Well, Sam, I had to praise you because I love Un Verano Sin Ti, but now I'm gonna have to pull back on that a little bit as I see the rise and fall of Ziggy Stardust right under Un Verano Sin Ti, and that really shook me. Sam, when I read that, I actually shook in my chair a little bit, really.
Yeah. For context, people, it is 49. I bumped it down 49 spots. From the original spot on the list. It is now at 73. And before it was at, way up here, it was at 24. So, I think this might have been a mood kind of thing. I was coming off of a long day of work when I listened to this. And it just came off as very bland to me. I was not a fan of David Bowie's vocals. And it didn't have like that innovative, like fun and out of this world feeling that a lot of people describe it as to me. everybody's like, oh, this is a dream. This is super cool. This is revolutionary. And I just didn't really get that. I feel like there's a lot of other artists in this similar genre that do a better job of capturing that kind of spirit. So, yeah, I mean, I know David Bowie is an icon. He's a legend and should be. But, yeah, I just wasn't a huge fan, Sammy. I'm sorry.
Yeah, it made me sad for sure. And to be fair, that album, I do think it doesn't really fall off, but it falls off a little bit in the end. But I think really that beginning of that album is so indisputable.
Yeah.
We have Moon Age Daydream. We have Starman. We have 5 Years. I mean, those three songs are just so wonderful. And I find it hard to see it this far down.
Yeah.
But that's okay. It's good to see 1989 under that. Again, no hate on Taylor Swift, wonderful artist, but yeah, it's. I mean, putting Taylor Swift next to David Bowie is tough.
Those were, for context for viewers, listeners, those are the two biggest fallers on the entire list. Taylor Swift's album dropped 56 spots from its original ranking. So, yeah, I completely agree with you. The album wasn't bad. It was just compared to everything above it,
right,
not nearly as good. And yeah, but again, to your point on David Bowie, I just... Like, first of all, I don't really remember a lot of the other songs on the album, and I feel like that is a sign to me that it just didn't work with me for some reason. When I listen to a new album, I immediately have a lot of new favorites on it. And I felt like there were a lot of, like, whiny-sounding choruses, drawn-out musical interludes. I just didn't really get it. I was... We agree to disagree.
That's okay. That's okay.
That's the point of the
list. Really okay.
Exactly. anything else in this 75 to 50 section that you'd like to touch on before we move on?
I do appreciate Flower Boy being very high.
Yeah.
I do. Yep. I think Flower Boy, for context listeners, Sam moved it up 29 spots.
Yeah.
Flower Boy by Tyler, the Creator. And I think this album, I don't listen to it very often personally. However, when I look at the album, it is so consistent. I struggle to find a song that I would skip on that album. And I think, again, like Doggy Style, I think that is rare in rap music and hip-hop music. And so I really respect that. And to be honest, you could even call Tyler, the Creator, he even diverges from hip-hop a little bit.
Totally.
In the way that he produced the songs on that album.
Yeah, I feel like he birthed a sort of... I'll call it goofy hip hop that you didn't see. I feel like a lot of the time these rappers take themselves very seriously. But Tyler clearly is just there for a fun time, and he makes super fun sounding songs. And that is what we heard with this entire album. Again, it's just like super goofy, super fun, super out there. But it works. And it reminds me of, I mean, it came out like, what year did it come out? 2017. I was just getting out of middle school, just starting high school. And yeah, it kind of captures that youthful, goofy vibe that I think I was going through at the time. So yeah, there's a big reason why I bumped it up that many spots. Let's see. Also, I just want to give a shout out to the album Horses by Patti Smyth.
Smyth,
I think, is what I heard it actually is. Mm. Correct me if I'm wrong out there, listeners, but I looked it up. It's Smyth, not Smith, I'm pretty sure. I was pleasantly surprised. I mean, you're going to see a trend on my list where there's a lot of albums that, you know, I knew nothing about. It's usually a solo artist, but they really just leave it all out there. You feel the emotion that they like pour into these songs. And like a lot of Patti Smyth's songs on this album, particularly the song Birdland, are very long. I think about, you know, like 8 minutes, everything's above 5 minutes on this album, and it goes by pretty fast. I mean, you're listening to it and you almost go into a trance. It's like it's weird, it's experimental, and there's like really long emotional choruses. I almost describe her as a cross between Lorde and Janis Joplin is how I thought of it, because she has like the gravelly like intensity of Lorde, but also like the passion of Janis Joplin. So anyways, just wanted to give a shout out to that one. People might not know about it as well. Anything else before we move on, Sammy?
Sam, no, I don't think so. That's, I'm a fan of Horses too. Let's move on.
Excellent. So we're going to go with, and I can't believe we didn't even talk about this. It's one of your favorites. Big Mouth Strikes Again by the Smiths is another. It's from the Queen is Dead album by the Smiths, which is also featured in the 75 to 50 range. We're going to play that right now. We might play another one back to back, and then we'll keep going forward. Great choice. Big Mouth Strikes Again by the Smiths. I say all of their music sounds like it's straight out of a John Hughes movie. Feels very nostalgic to me for some reason. PSA time, everybody. I'm not going to waste time. You know what it is. Sammy, what's the PSA today?
All right, we got some numbers to think about. So the United States has less than 5% of the planet's population, but incarcerates 24% of its prisoners and accounts for 43% of the world's total military spending.
Wow. That's intense.
Something to think about.
Yeah.
Something to think about.
No, it is definitely something to think about. Something we could talk about a lot if we had more time. But yeah. Let's get into 50 to 25. Sammy, main thoughts. Let's get into it.
Well, Sam, really what I see here when I look at these 25 albums, I mean... we have Born to Run. We have The Low End Theory. We have Is This It by The Strokes. We have The Blueprint by Jay-Z. Illmatic, Led Zeppelin 2. I mean, I see a bunch of albums that belong here.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
I don't have a lot. I mean, Pet Sounds, I think you might have some haters of it being this low.
I was bumping it down.
Might be higher than 30.
And you know what? I surprised myself moving it down. When I saw it was under 30, I was like, when I saw it on the original list, and for context, everybody, on the original list, Pet Sounds is at 20. On the original list, on my list, it's at 31. I was surprised. I was surprised that it moved down this much. It was, again, this was a very like organic process of I rank the song as I, the album as I listen to it. And that's just how it shook out. I wrote on the spreadsheet here, absolutely elite album. The Beach Boys are great. It is surprising. I don't really have much to say about it, honestly. I just like the stuff above it more.
I mean, at that point, you know, 31's quite high. It's quite high praise. So at that point, you would almost characterize it as the albums above it are just better. Not that the album itself is bad, right?
Exactly.
It's just the albums above it are simply better.
And again, like all these albums in the top 100, most of them, except for some of the ones back at the beginning, I considered all, they're all good albums, right? Mm. They all bring something different. They're all good in different ways. But once you get up to like 35 and above, these are like the elite albums. These are the timeless, the art, the ones that people are going to know for generations to come. Let me just look at some other highlights on here. Do you want to talk about, so I don't know if you're a fan of Daft Punk. Discovery was an album I listened to. Honestly, didn't really do a lot for me, and I was surprised because there was a lot of hype going into this one. Some of my other friends are a big fan, just not a big fan of the techno beats. They felt repetitive. They sounded kind of generic. I that might be a little offensive to Daft Punk because I know they're a very high quality group, but do you have any thoughts about techno music in general, Daft Punk, anything?
Yeah, I mean, I think techno music requires a very specific state of mind, right? Mm-hmm. You need to be okay with that kind of repetitive beat, perhaps in a club setting, perhaps in a party setting.
Sure.
But I think if you're looking to listen to an album for, you know, melodic changes and interesting melodies and, you know, changing tones and emotions, yeah. I don't know if you're necessarily going to get that. And I think a lot of the other albums on here, from Led Zeppelin 2 to sure. Illmatic and even The Blueprint, rock and rap Whew. Included, all have those varying emotions that you just don't get with techno.
Exactly. Right? And you bring up Illmatic. Can we just talk about it for a second? I mean, I honestly think this is the type of album that if I did a re-rank again now, it would be even higher on my list. I think this is quite possibly my favorite hip-hop album of all time.
I mean,
and that's a lot. That's
Sam,
saying a lot.
The listeners, we can let the listeners know that we have bantered about this list before. And one of my first things that I brought up was the ranking of Illmatic, because I thought it was so low.
Yeah.
Albeit at 26. 26 is quite high, but
low.
Low for me because that album is just brilliant. I personally, I think it's brilliant. I also grew up on it. So I'm very biased. I started listening to it in like seventh grade, never really looked back.
Yeah.
But that album is just incredible. And I don't really see other albums overtaking it.
Mm-hmm.
It would have to be more of a personal bias thing. I mean, that album just simply doesn't have many misses for
no.
me. He wrote it when he was 17.
I think he was 20 actually. Or maybe he wrote it when he was 17.
I believe
it came out
17.
When he was 20.
Okay.
Anyways, that's besides the point. You're totally right. I mean, this album's amazing. It really was revolutionary in a lot of ways. Again, you talk about so many great songs on it. It Ain't Hard to Tell, The World Is Yours, New York State of Mind, Represent. Those are all, nothing wrong with those songs, all classics. And I don't even know how to describe the beats on the songs. They're like kind of, I feel like laid back isn't the word, but there's something about them that's kind of just like, yeah, I'm walking down the street, you know, this is, you know what I mean? Like it's a type of beat and type of rhythms that they're not like,
it's not very
not
produced.
Right. It's not overly produced. They're not super intense. Yeah, but they're not super low key either. I don't even know how to explain it. It's a great, great album. Led Zeppelin right above it. Obviously Led Zeppelin 2, great album, great group. I almost feel like Led Zeppelin 4 should be on this list if I could add new stuff to it. I got to be real. If Led Zeppelin 4 was on this thing, it might be even in the top 15 for me. That's just my two cents. Sammy, any thoughts on Led Zeppelin?
Well, I mean, I am a huge fan of Led Zeppelin 2 being on here. And I like for my listeners out there, for Sam Derringer here, if Stairway to Heaven weren't on Led Zeppelin 4, would you want it on the
list?
All right.
We're pulling it up for a second here. Black Dog is a certified classic. Gotta be honest, haven't listened to it in a little while. Stairway to Heaven is one of the greatest songs ever written, in my opinion.
Yes.
Yeah?
That's not a crazy hot take.
That's not a hot take.
I think
it's also really long. It takes up a good amount of the runtime of this album, honestly.
In some certain circles, you would even call Stairway to Heaven the greatest song of all time. But
perhaps. You can make the argument.
I'm not saying.
Battle of Evermore, Black Dog, great stuff on that one. I think maybe you could make the argument that 2 maybe is more well-rounded. I just like the stuff, the individual songs on 4 more. It comes down to what you value more in an album. It's overall well-roundedness, or if it really has like generational tracks on it.
Very fair. I do think 2 is lacking those incredibly generational tracks, but the consistency is just indubitable, something like that.
Yeah, great. All right, there's a lot of sirens going on out there right now. I hope everybody's okay. I think we covered pretty much everything here. I want to make sure we play a couple songs from this section before we do a real deep dive for the rest of the show into the top 25, because I know Sammy has a lot of thoughts and opinions, particularly on the top 10. So we're going to play a song or two here, and then we're going to really get into it.
Yes, we will.
Let him go, leaking.
Alone Together by The Strokes. And I know we didn't really get a chance to touch on that Strokes album, Sammy. Is This It? It is a great album. You want to talk about it real quick?
I mean, yeah, like the other albums in this 50 to 25 range, they're really just lacking any misses. I think a knock on The Strokes is that a lot of the songs might sound similar, but I really do think they invented a new genre of music with this album. As a Strokes lover, a Strokes fan, I think that this album has a lot of different stuff going on. Which is really cool. I think this whole 50 to 25 range really got a lot of 90s rap, a whole lot of 90s rap, a whole lot of 90s, a little bit of 90s rock. And then we also got that Is This It, which is early 2000s. So a lot of common themes going on there.
Exactly. That was unintentional, obviously, as well. But yeah, if we're, just before we move on from 50 to 25, Dr. Dre, Biggie, Nas, I mean, again,
Beastie Boys, Wu-Tang Clan.
Yeah, all 90s stuff. So that was unintentional, but they're all in there. So I guess I value them similarly. Okay, moving on. Now, these are the real heavy hitters, everybody. And again, I know this might be difficult to conceptualize without the list in front of you if you're listening, but bear with us here. This is the 25, and we're going to end up in our top 10 and work all the way up to 1. How about, Sammy, before we get to the top 10, do you want to start with the 25 to 11 range? What do you think about this section?
Yeah. 25 to 11?
Or 24, 24 to 11.
It's hard to judge, right? Because when I look at this, I see Revolver, Insane Album, For No One, Insane Song. London Calling, I actually think you underrated this album. I think it is top 10 for me, no doubt. But again, the 10 to 20 range, it gets a little murky, right? It's a little subjective. And so the fact that it's even here is a good thing. Of course, Never Mind, I would put in a similar category as London Calling, just absolutely legendary.
London Calling's at 19, Never Mind's at 18 for those listening.
One thing I'd love to dispute is your ranking of Blonde.
Really?
I
am surprised that you are disputing it. Why?
I'm going to dispute Blonde because I think wonderful album. Wonderful album by Frank Ocean. Putting it in the same breath as an album like OK Computer or Nevermind or London Calling is, and even The Miseducation of Lauryn Hill is a tough look for me. I can't lie, Sammy D.
Whoa. Okay. Well, again, I think we got to talk about albums, first of all, for me that don't have misses. And I think every album in this section for me, most of the songs on them don't miss. And Blonde is no exception to that. I think Frank Ocean is, and I've said this to people before, is one of, if not the best vocalist of this generation. I think, you know, his mystique and allure it's built on by the fact that he hasn't released anything in 5 or so years, but that doesn't discount how good this thing is. I think Pink and White, for me, that song is a top 10 favorite song for me of all time. And that's talking about so much music out there, which is a very bold statement. I just think when you look at the musical interludes, bringing Beyonce, you know, he had Beyonce on backup vocals for that song. There's all these, like, he's got like birds chirping in the background. He's got like all these. For some reason, I'm a huge sucker for nature sounds and natural sounds in the background of songs. He's got birds. He's got like a very like earthy sound in his songs. And I really dig that. And everything's super, all the messaging in the song, super thought provoking, melancholic in a way that I feel like, I mean, some of the stuff below it obviously is super thought provoking as well. But there's something about this album that's just really hits me in a different place. So that's my two cents, Sammy. Yeah. End of my rant.
That's okay. I think, to be fair, I'm underexposed to it, but from my few listens to Blonde, I guess I'm just not on the same plane. I'm not operating on that same plane, so maybe I'll have to go back and give it a listen.
Yeah, and I was debating
my mind up.
Yeah, for sure. And that, again, common trend is, you know, subjectivity. You can go back and listen to this thing. You could have a completely different opinion the next time. Maybe I was in a a sad or reflective mood when I was listening to Blonde at this time. But I still believe it should be in this top 20 range. I truly believe that. So Blonde is at 13 for those listening. Anything else? I did also want to touch on, I want to hear your thoughts on Radiohead for a second, because Radiohead has two albums in the top 100, and I had zero knowledge of Radiohead before putting this thing together. OK Computer, which was originally, I think, 12 on the original list, is now at 17 for me. I was expecting it to drop way further. What are your thoughts on Radiohead and what they've contributed to music?
I mean, they're indisputably one of the most influential bands of all time.
Sure.
They really just have their own sound in a way that I think when people say, oh, this artist has their own sound, that artist has their own sound, it's easy to say that, but then you listen to Radiohead and you're like, oh, this band actually has their own sound. I think the melancholy yet energetic vocals on OK Computer, on songs like Karma Police, on songs like Paranoid Android. Like, I think this album has this riveting combination of few misses, right? It's very easy to go through the whole album and also just some really high highs, right? Paranoid Android. I could listen to that song for ages.
The Tourist. I know people don't give The Tourist a lot of love, but that's the last song on the album, and I feel like it's one of the most perfect ending songs to an album that I've heard. It just kind of like fades out into the distance, and again, you touched on it. Super, like, their songs are uplifting, but also sobering at the same time, which I feel like can't be accomplished by a lot of artists out there, and again, I'm surprised that it stayed within the top 20. I was fully expecting when I first saw them on the list, I was like, Radiohead, they're going to drop a ways. But nonetheless, they're still there. Okay. Are we ready? Are we ready to dive into the top 10, like the upper echelon? Or do you want to play another song before we get there?
No, I think it looks good. I think we've touched on everything that I'd like to touch on
here. Great. It's time for the top 10, everybody. I wish I had like a cool sound effect for this or something to like drum up the emphasis about how amazing these albums are, in my opinion. So let me just read off the top 10 to start, and then Sammy, you can dive into some of them. So at 10, we have Tapestry by Carole King. 9, we have Rumors by Fleetwood Mac. 8, we have Back to Black by Amy Winehouse. 7 is Good Kid, Mad City by Kendrick Lamar. 6 is The Dark Side of the Moon by Pink Floyd. 5 is Abbey Road by The Beatles. 4 is Inner Visions by Stevie Wonder. 3 is Thriller by Michael Jackson. 2 is What's Going On by Marvin Gaye. 1 is Songs in the Key of Life, also by Stevie Wonder. Sammy, take it away, baby.
Well, Sam, I just have to congratulate you on this top 10. I think it is very difficult to construct a top 10 where the albums are easy to look at, right? Because everyone will have their own different top 10. Everyone in the world's going to have a different top 10. But I look at this top 10 and I say, these albums deserve to be here, which I didn't necessarily expect, but I'm very glad that we got that happening. And I want to just start with Tapestry because, what an incredible album. It's just, it's very consistent, which I think is rare for a folk album. I think many of the songs on that encapsulate different moods, which isn't always the case with folk rock, right? So like we got like I Feel the Earth Move, that's like super upbeat, and then we go right into like So Far Away, which is incredibly sad. It's Too Late is kind of in the middle, so it's just an incredible album in all facets, which is it's hard to pull off with folk rock.
Right. And I even describe this as like a roller coaster album where she really, I feel like each song like captures a specific energy, as you were alluding to, a certain emotion. And again, folk rock is, once you take a look at this top 100, is a severely snubbed genre, in my opinion. You're not seeing any James Taylor, not seeing any Simon Garfunkel anywhere, which is wild. And they all come from that same era. And I'm just really, listening to this just gave me happiness. It gave me a sort of nostalgia for some reason, in a way. I think I grew up on a lot of folk music, a lot of folk rock music of this similar genre. And I'm just, I'm so happy putting it in the top 10. I bumped it up 28 spots from its original spot on the list. Yeah, it's a great album.
Wonderful album.
What else do you want to talk about here?
Yeah, I mean, I love 8 for similar reasons. I think, you know, Tapestry, 8 is Back to Black by Amy Winehouse.
Yep.
Tapestry is great because, like, for all the reasons we said, and it's very listenable. It's easy to just turn on. I think Back to Black is somehow listenable and also just incredibly intricate in a way that Tapestry isn't. I think they're both, I like that it's above Tapestry because they're both very, like, incredible albums from front to back, but Back to Black, you really get this, like, melodic tunes, and it's all very well produced, and then Amy Winehouse's voice might be the best voice of our generation.
Yeah,
or top three.
I don't think that's a crazy statement, and yeah, it's interesting because I feel like she is the queen of both paying tribute to different genres and also creating her own genre from that, if that makes sense. She has elements of reggae. She has elements of jazz, soul, indie rock. She has lots of different stuff going on, even some pop. And somehow it, like, all comes together and it works. And in a way, she created her own genre from it, which I thought was super interesting. And obviously, such a powerful, unique voice. Every song on here, I mean, there's a couple, like Rehab, You Know I'm No Good, Me and Mr. Jones, Just Friends, Back to Black, like those first six songs.
Tears Dry on Their Own.
Some Unholy War, that, like, every single song on there I've listened to multiple times. Back to Black is an album I re-listened to recently, and I stand firmly on putting it at number 8 of the top albums of all time that Apple put out there. Okay. I want to make sure we have time to get into this debate, this discussion. There's two Stevie Wonder albums on here, Sammy. There are two Stevie Wonder albums, not only in the top 10, but in the top 5 of all time on my list. And I know that might seem insane. I know that might seem radical. But first, I want to hear your thoughts, then I'll defend myself.
Well, I'll gloss over the others. I think Dark Side of the Moon at 6, Abbey Road at 5, Thriller at 3,
yeah.
What's Going On at 2.
I mean, we could talk about them. We
that
just
all
don't have
makes
a ton
sense
of time.
To me. Yeah. I think Thriller at 2 makes a lot of sense at 3. And then What's Going On at 2, I think it's a wonderful album. I do question the breadth of What's Going On. I'm not sure that it I haven't listened to it in a long time, but I believe it's a short album.
It's short.
If I'm not wrong.
It's short.
And I think a lot of these albums in the top 10 kind of touch on emotions and different genres even that, like, throughout the album. And I'm not sure that What's Going On does that. So
yeah, I see where you're coming from with that. Again, this is a vibe. This was more in a lot of ways a vibes pick. I gotta be honest. It's just excuse me. Really, like, a lot of the songs in there are pretty feel good. They feel therapeutic in a way. I mean, that's a big way I've described Marvin Gaye's voice, is very relaxing, therapeutic. And I was a big fan of that. It just made me feel mentally and physically great. So that's why
that's
there.
Great to hear. It's an album I'm going to have to listen to soon.
Let's talk about, but I want to make sure we have time for this.
Yes.
The debate over the two Stevie Wonder albums in the top 5.
So let's get this out of the way. Sammy D, Songs of the Key of Life is at 1. I love the ranking. I think that it has this combination of, you know, hitting different genres almost, but also, like, the being very listenable and being experimental yet listenable. It's long. It's long, but it's not filler, right?
No.
So great. Let's talk about Inner Visions at number 4.
Okay.
Let's
All right.
talk about Inner Visions at number 4.
I don't want to hear any hate, but I'm going to hear some hate. Let's hear it.
Well, Sam, I think Inner Visions at number 4, let's call it Let's call it a Mickey Mouse tapestry, will you?
Whoa.
Let's call it a Mickey Mouse tapestry. So what do
Why?
I mean? Listeners, what do I mean by that? I think Inner Visions is an incredible album. Does it deserve to be in the top 100? Absolutely. Does it have timeless songs? I was listening to Higher Ground earlier today. Wonderful song. Incredible song. I don't know if it has that cohesion and required to be in the top five. I think there are some clear misses on this album.
Really?
And if not misses, I think the songs are subpar. If not, they're very good, but subpar compared to the other albums on here.
That is so interesting that you say that, because I feel like I called this in my, maybe this is quite cliche of me to say, but in my comments when I listened to this album, I called it the Mona Lisa of albums. Why do I say that? It's able, like Tapestry, you hit on it, to convey so many different emotions and so many different like themes, very serious themes in one album. I mean, like the first few songs, Too High, Visions, Living for the City, it's touching on themes of racism, of drug abuse, of crime. It's like super intense subject matter that maybe, yeah, isn't the most like pleasant listen to, obviously, but it's thought provoking. It's interesting to me. And then you have some of the more like feel good sounds like Golden Lady and Higher Ground. And All in Love is Fair is a beautiful ballad piece. And maybe I can see your point on some of the ones at the end. He's Mr. Know-It-All, but Don't You Worry About a Thing is super fun and upbeat as well. I just think each track, again, brings something a little different. Maybe I see your point that it competes with some of the similar effects that Carole King's album does. But I still feel okay putting it in the top 10. And also, I disagree. I feel like although each of the songs are a little different and they touch on different themes, they somehow come together and work well together for me. And when you listen to the actual album in its entirety, they really flow one into the next. If one song ends, the next one starts as that one's ending. And I think that's a super cool effect that I think Songs in the Key of Life, again, is the magnum opus of albums, and I don't regret putting it at one. But I think from a cohesion standpoint and from a, honestly, a length standpoint, because I mean, long albums are great, but also, you know, they're a commitment. I think this is a super interesting and informative and super bountiful, or like it has a lot going on in it, in my opinion. So that's why I put it at four. I can see an argument for it being bumped down a few more spots, but I still stand by it being in the top 10, Sammy.
Okay. I mean, Sammy D, I have to hear all that out, and I really do appreciate the arguments you're making here. And as I look at this album, I have all the songs in front of me, listeners. I really do think I need to go back and listen to it.
Yeah.
Because it is a album that has just, like, indisputably, it has bangers, mm-hmm. right? And so that's in and of itself a reason to listen to it. I simply take issue. Let me be perfectly clear, Sammy. Let me be perfectly clear. If this song was at 20, I would never have even brought it up. I would never have even brought it up. Yep. If it was at 15, I would have maybe given it a look. I think the fact that it is at 4 above certain albums that I think have greater volume of good songs,
okay.
greater percentage of good
sure.
songs. For example, I think All in Love is Fair, I think it's somewhat of a filler song. And I don't love having filler songs in my top five albums.
I guess we're going to have to agree to disagree, Sammy okay. Minch, because I think that's a beautiful ballad. I think also, like, you see, obviously, some of those of Songs in the Key of Life, but Songs in the Key of Life, again, it's the magnum opus. It's just like...
It has fillers, too.
It does have fillers, fair. But the fillers, it's there for a good time. Like, a lot of the... Like, yes, it touches on some important subject matter, too, intense subject matter, but it has a much more lively, upbeat, and fun atmosphere that Inner Visions, to me, has a more reflective, introspective thing going on. So they're completely different to me in that regard. So, yeah, I just took a lot. Maybe I'm biased because I'm a huge Stevie Wonder fan. I took a lot from Inner Visions. I'm keeping it in the top 10. I can hear out some movement, obviously. And once again, everybody, as we're coming to the end of the show, this is all super subjective. it's all super subjective. We're just here to talk about stuff. I feel like we need a whole other hour, 2 hours to break this down even more. Sammy, I'm so happy you came on today, my friend. Thank you for coming on, as always.
It is an absolute pleasure. I look forward to discussing this more on, off, and potentially on again the air.
I think we'll have to at some point. But I appreciate everybody listening. I know there was a lot of talking today, not as much music. So thanks for bearing with us. Next week, I'll be on again. We'll see what happens. Maybe a guest, maybe not. We're going to keep breaking this thing down with other people throughout the semester. But that was super fun. Thanks again, Sammy. And thanks, everybody, for listening. Appreciate it. Bye, everybody.
Goodbye.